Paul, looking through the book of Acts, looking at his other letters to the other churches, we see that Paul was fully committed to being a minister of the gospel. He was fully committed to being an ambassador for Christ. Paul was also very aware that if he weren't careful, he could also do a great deal of damage for the gospel. He could discredit all of the efforts that he's put into spreading the gospel message. Now last week we looked at the idea that each one of us is called and commissioned to be an ambassador for Christ. And in that role we do represent Christ to the world. We could do a great deal of good in that role if indeed we are very Christ-like in how we represent Christ. You know, people indeed would see in us Jesus and they would be drawn to us by how we fulfill our role as an ambassador. Well, we also could do a great deal of damage to the cause of Christ if people see in our lives things that are antithetical to the gospel of Christ. If people look into our lives and see us living our lives and talking in such a way that is contrary to what Christ really is. You know, people do form their opinions and their perceptions about Christ by watching us. It's kind of scary. So Paul is careful. He's careful that he does not become a stumbling block to anyone in his efforts in sharing the gospel. Notice that Paul says that he is careful about anyone or everyone. Because the truth is, this idea of being a stumbling block is something that we could become for anyone. In fact, if you go through the writings of the Apostle Paul, we see that he uses the same language of being a stumbling block to both those within the church and those outside the church. Let's start by looking at this idea applied inside the church. Well, one of the passages that comes to mind is the book of Romans, chapters 14 and 15. And in those two chapters, Paul gives an extended discussion of how people within the church, often differ with each other on how to live the Christian life, what's appropriate, what's inappropriate, how best to be a believer in Christ. And there's division and disagreements within the very church. And so Paul describes these two sides. He actually uses the language of being weak and strong. But here's the idea. Paul was noticing that one group would often judge the other group, and then one group would often look down upon the other group. And Paul says in this situation that we need to be very careful not to be a stumbling block to other believers. This is what he says, Romans 14, verse 13. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to be a stumbling block or an obstacle in your brother's way. And then in verse 20, he says, do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. It's one of the issues that they had some different disagreements on. There's a difference of opinion related to food. But this is what Paul says at the latter part of verse 20. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. Paul was concerned that no believer become a stumbling block or an obstacle to the faith of another believer. If you do this, Paul says, you actually destroy the work of God. Paul says something very much like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, where he says, be careful, however, how the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. So again, Paul is using that same language of weak and strong to describe two different groups within the church and how those different groups had different understandings, different opinions about certain things. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, the different groups of believers dealing with the issue of eating meats that have been offered to idols, and there were indeed different opinions on this topic within the church. But here's the interesting thing. Paul was more interested in how the believers in the church were influencing the faith of their fellow believers, and not who was right and who was wrong. Sometimes we are always who's right and who's wrong. Paul wasn't interested. He was interested in how we are influencing one another. Paul says, instead of exercising your freedoms, you should be showing love to your fellow believers and being very careful not to be a stumbling block to anyone's faith. Well, these two passages address the influence of one believer on the faith of another believer. Paul also is concerned about how our actions may have an influence on those outside the church. So the question for us is, are people outside the church drawn to Christ because of how we live our lives before them? Or are they repelled? Paul is very careful here. He doesn't want to be a stumbling block to anyone, whether within or without. In fact, here's an interesting passage, Romans chapter 2. Paul is actually in this passage addressing the Jewish people, explaining how they had strayed so far from God's path that they were actually harming the name and witness of God before those outside of Israel. Paul is quoting from the prophet of Isaiah, and he says in Romans 2:24, as it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of God. Now these are pretty strong words of indictment. We don't want to diminish these words as, well, these are words of Jewish people because they had strayed so far from God. We need to reflect on these words and ask ourselves, to what degree could these words describe our witness to those outside the church? Again, do people outside the church have a positive understanding of our God because they've watched us conduct ourselves in a certain way in this world? Or do people outside the church blaspheme God, maybe even reject God because of how we behave or how we relate to other people? We recently had the very idea in our Wednesday night Bible study as we've been looking at the letter of 1 Peter. The Apostle Peter said something very similar to this. In fact, recently in chapter 2, beginning of verse 11, where the Apostle Peter says, dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against the soul. And then verse 12, live, Peter tells us, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits. You know, the truth is, many times those on the outside are looking for ways. Maybe the notion of God doesn't fit with their lifestyle, and they're looking for ways to dismiss God, reject God. They're looking for an excuse not to believe in God, and so they will sometimes misunderstand or misconstrue or misrepresent what Christianity stands for by watching what Christians are doing. We need to strive ever so carefully to live in purity, live above reproach, so that those on the outside have no excuse to reject God, but every reason to be drawn to him. It's a challenging task. Again, because often those on the outside are looking for the worst. We have to show them the very best. We need to show them how God has transformed our lives, and we need to love them and show God's grace to them. They're trying to understand who this God is by watching you and I. The outside world is looking to see if our lives match up with our God. If our words about God match up with the lives that we live before them. In fact, this very idea was talked about in a little devotional book that was written in the second century of the Common Era. It was written by, it was actually called The Shepherd of Hermes. Very respected little book in the second century. Encouraged lots of Christians. It's still studied by many as a book to give us encouragement. And this is what this little letter says, called The Shepherd of Hermes. It says, "For the Gentiles, when they hear from our mouth the oracles of God, marvel at them for their beauty and greatness." Now, we could stop right there. That'd be pretty good. Outside, what God represents from us. But it doesn't stop right there. As you see, it goes on. "Then," it says, "when they discover that our works are not worthy of the words which we speak, forthwith they betake themselves to blasphemy, saying that it is an idle story and a delusion." Again, the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 2:24. "The name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you." Well, turning back now to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we see in the next section here, verses 4 through 13, that Paul will begin to describe his relationship with the believers there in Corinth. And as we'll see, Paul will start by describing the great hardships that he's had to endure as he sought to fulfill his ministry as an apostle, as an ambassador of Christ. He also describes his great affection, his great love for the church there in Corinth. In fact, he will close this section by asking the believers there in Corinth to return the same level of transparency and affection that he has shown toward them. But let's start at the beginning, verse 4, with Paul's description of his relationship with the church of Corinth and the many hardships that he's had to endure as he's carried out his ministry in the name of Christ. Verse 4 reads, "Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger." Well, first and foremost, we see that Paul views himself as a servant of God toward the church of Corinth. Actually, he sees himself as a servant of God toward all the churches. We are called to be ambassadors for Christ as well. We talked about that last week. In fact, the charge for us to be ambassadors for Christ, right before this description of hardships of ministry. And if we're going to be good ambassadors of Christ, we are to act toward other people as servants of God. And we are to expect the same kinds of hardships that the Apostle Paul faced. It's not always easy to fulfill God's call in your life. Paul here lists 10 different hardships that he faced as he strove to fulfill his calling. Now, we may not face every one of those same hardships that Paul faced, but I do hope that we understand that we can expect a similar path that Paul faced. In fact, Jesus himself faced many hardships. Jesus did not face comfort and ease as he fulfilled his calling. He faced many of the same things that the Apostle Paul faced. And we should expect to face similar challenges, similar hardships. Now, some of the things here on Paul's list, let's review them again. In fact, we'll do a little activity to review them. I want you, as we look at this list one more time, to do two things for me. One, I want you in your own mind to begin to construct a list of the things that Paul endured that Jesus faced, that Jesus endured. I also want you, if you'll do this with me, is see if you can recall any of these things that you yourself have had to face a time or two as you have striven to fulfill the call that God has upon you. So here are the 10 things again. We want to listen to these. Again, our goal is to make two lists in our mind. One is the Jesus list, and one is, what about you? What have you endured? Endurance. Troubles. Hardships. Distress. Beatings. Imprisonments. Riots. Hard work. Sleepless nights. And hunger. How many of those things made it onto the Jesus list? I hope all of them did, because we just finished our study of the Gospels in our Sunday school class. And as we've worked through the Gospels over many months, we saw Jesus face many of the same things, if not all the same things, that the Apostle Paul faced. What about your list? How many of those things made it onto the list of things that you face? Now, I'm guessing that your list may be a little bit shorter than the list of the Apostle Paul and the list of Jesus. Maybe the first four on this list made it to your list. Maybe you have endured or had to exercise endurance as you've lived out your Christian life. Maybe you have faced troubles as you've tried to faithfully fulfill your calling as an ambassador, as a witness to the Lord, as a servant of God. Maybe you have endured hardships and distress as you've carried out your role as an ambassador for Christ. Well, that's good. That's what you would expect. That's what it means to walk with the same path that Jesus walks and the same path that the Apostle Paul walks. This is what you would expect to happen. In fact, from our First Peter study on Wednesday nights, one of the things that we just saw last week was that we were called to the same thing that Jesus endured. So, if you're seeing some of the same things on your list, that's what you would expect. If everything was easy for you, if everything were comfortable, you had no difficulties, maybe you're not living up to the calling that God has placed on your life. Go on the list. I hope the next three things on this list didn't make it to your list. Beatings. I can't tell if... Yes, the yellow doesn't show up in the back, so I'm not sure if I'm on the right slide. So, sorry for that interruption. So, beatings, imprisonments, and riots. Now, if we read through the book of Acts, we find examples of each one of these in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Paul often faced physical violence as he faithfully carried out his role. In fact, one story that comes to mind is when he was in the city of Lystra, his first missionary journey, preaching the gospel faithfully, doing what God had called him to do, and an angry crowd rose around him, and they actually stoned him to death and left him for dead. What about imprisonments? Well, again, look through the book of Acts. You find three different times when Paul was thrown into prison for his faith. Actually, there were more imprisonments than just this. At the end of the first century, there was a Christian writer, Clement of Rome, who was the bishop of Rome at the very end of the first century. And he actually gave us a lot of information about the Apostle Paul beyond the book of Acts. And a lot of that we know about the Apostle Paul comes to us from Clement of Rome. And he wrote that Paul was actually imprisoned seven times. Here's another little interesting fact about Clement of Rome. One of the things he's famous for writing is he wrote a letter to the Corinthians. And he's writing it about 95 A.D. So it's about 40 years after Paul wrote his correspondence. And the interesting thing, in 95 A.D., when Clement of Rome wrote to Corinth, he was dealing with the same problems, divisions and spiritual pride and all that kind of stuff. So the Corinthian church, and how we see the Corinthian church today through the letters of Paul, actually that problem continued for a few more years, and Clement of Rome actually wrote to them dealing with the same things. Let's get back. Riots. Paul witnessed several riots because of his preaching of the gospel. In fact, Paul saw a riot in the city of Ephesus shortly before he left that city, went up to Macedonia, and began to riot of 2 Corinthians. He had just seen a riot in that city. And when he finishes the correspondence with the Corinthians and he gathers up the collection that we mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he will go to Jerusalem, and when he gets there, he's involved in another riot. And because of that riot, he's thrown into prison again. Again, I hope that beatings, imprisonments, and riots didn't make it on your list of hardships. We do need to remember that there are believers living today in certain parts of the world who face these very things. We read about other places in the world where Christians are being imprisoned and beaten, where riots are taking place and believers are being attacked because they are believers. We need to pray for other believers in the world. We may not have these things in our lives now, but this is where these things still happen. Here's the question. When the beatings and the imprisonment and the riots come, will we be able to stand firm and stand strong in our faith? Let's go on now to the final three things on Paul's list. We have here hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger. Maybe some of those things made it onto your list as well. I hope, really hope, that hard work made it onto everyone's list. Just think about that. Being called to be an ambassador for Christ, to be a good ambassador, is a lot of hard work. Living the Christian life, being faithful to the calling that God has placed on your life, that's hard work. Don't look for the easy way out. Don't put in the minimal amount of effort so you really have more comfort and ease and whatnot. Sadly, there's too many believers who do not work real hard at fulfilling their calling to being faithful believers. There are too many believers who don't work real hard. They kind of coast along, and they don't put out a whole lot of effort. Please don't be one of those folks. Think about Jesus again. Jesus came to earth in order to give all of himself, in order to endure many difficulties and hardships, in order so that you and I could have life in his name. The Apostle Paul and so many other ministers of the gospel through the ages have likewise sacrificed a great deal, engaged in a whole lot of hard work so that we could have the word preached to us, we can know the gospel, that we could come to faith. So we need to think in terms of how are we passing it along? How are we ourselves enduring hardships and working hard so that others can hear the words of life as well? How are we fulfilling our calling as ambassadors for Christ? As Paul goes on now, verses 6, he shifts from the hardships that he had to face to the characteristics and the resources that he draws upon in order to fulfill his ministry. This is what he writes, verses 6 and 7. In purity, understanding, patience, kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand, in the left. Now we count nine things on that list. Nine things. Let's do the very same activity we did a moment ago. I'm going to read that list again, with a little bit of explanation, and I want you in your own mind to construct two lists. In your own mind, think about Jesus. What did Jesus do in order to secure our salvation? That's the Jesus list. And in your own mind, I want you to think about what are the things on your list that characterize your life as a servant of God, as an ambassador of Christ. Here we go. First one, purity. Living a life of moral purity is one thing, so that our lives do not become a stumbling block to others. Understanding. Think of understanding the gospel. You can also think about understanding the needs and the interests of other people, not just your own. Understanding so that you can be a faithful minister. Patience. Treating other people with compassion. Not being judgmental. Not getting all upset for the littlest things. Exercising patience with other people. Kindness. How you treat people gently, with love. Spirit, doing all things in the Spirit of God. In sincere love. Love that is genuine. Fake. Love that is unconditional. The kind of love that God showed us. In truthful speech. Speaking only what is right and what is true and what is honorable. In the power of God. Again, because we realize to be an ambassador for Christ, to do the hard work that we're called to do, we can't do it in our own. Do it in our own power. We need the power of God. With the weapons of righteousness. Reminds me of Ephesians 6, where we are commanded to put on the whole armor of God in order to do spiritual battle in this world. Okay, so how many of those things got onto the Jesus list? The things that Jesus did in order to secure our salvation. Well, I'm sure that they all got there. Because we see those things demonstrated all the time by Jesus. He faced all the hardships, but he also came with purity. And he came with sincere love. And he came with that sacrificial giving. Now, what about the other list? The list that you made for yourself. The list of things that you yourself are committed to doing as you seek to fulfill your role as an ambassador for Christ. Now remember, all of those things were on Paul's list. And I hope that each one of us is committed to seeing to it that all of those things on our list as well. And if they're not, you work hard to see to it that all those things eventually come onto your list, because by embracing those nine things, that's how we're going to fulfill our calling as ambassadors for Christ. In the next three verses in our passage this morning, Paul describes the paradoxical nature of his ministry. This is how he puts it in verses 8 through 10. Through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as imposters, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet living on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. You know, the call to ministry, the call to being an ambassador for Christ is a challenging thing. It brings hardships, but it also brings blessings. It brings sacrifices, but it also brings joy. It brings challenges, but it also bears fruit for the kingdom of God. Some people will appreciate you and embrace you and love, return your love for them. Other people will not really like you too much. It's a difficult thing to be an ambassador. Paul lived out the paradoxical nature of ministry. Jesus experienced these same paradoxical contrasts. He faced death so that others could have life. He took upon himself our sins so that we could take upon his righteousness. So as we reflect upon our own experience as ambassadors of Christ, do we see some of these same contrasts, some of these same... It's not always easy to be an ambassador. It's not always that simple. The servant of God faces many challenges. The ambassador of Christ will face many of the same paradoxical tensions that the Apostle Paul faced, that Jesus faced. So we expect these very things in our own life as we seek to fulfill our calling to be faithful ambassadors for Christ. We face the hardships that Christ faced. We also work in using the resources that Christ does as Apostle Paul. Let's go to our section today. Paul ends this section of the letter with a special plea to the believers there in Corinth. This is how he writes, verses 11 through 13. Paul says, "We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, and I speak as to my children, open wide your hearts also." Now there are two things that Paul sought to offer to the Corinthians. They were his transparency and his affection. Paul was always open and honest with the believers there in Corinth, even being honest, sometimes creations. In order to be an effective ambassador for Christ, and that's what we're called to do. We saw that in the previous section. We likewise need to be open and honest with people. We need to have transparency with them. People can sense if we are being insincere, if we're hiding stuff, if we're trying to sell them something that we ourselves are not really committed to. In fact, that's probably why Paul talked all these hardships. He's trying to share with the believers how he is sold out and committed to the gospel, even when it brings hardships, because he believes it. He's sold out to it, and he's hoping that the Corinthians would recognize that commitment in his own life and be open to affirming and embracing that same level of commitment in their own lives. You know, people are often drawn to something that seems to get people fired up and excited. If the outside world sees the church very much committed to the gospel, they say, there must be something there. I want to see what it is. We need to be committed. We need to be transparent if we hope to be effective ministers of the gospel. Paul also had a deep affection for the believers there. Again, people will know if we're just kind of faking it. They know when we don't live. They know when our affection is not genuine. Paul addressed the believers there as his children. In fact, we see the same kind of language and the same kind of attitude adopted by the Apostle Paul back in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 14, Paul wrote these words to the Corinthians. He says, "I am not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I," Paul's saying to this to the believers, "I became your father through the gospel." And then verse 21 of that same chapter, Paul says, "What do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a whip, or in love and with a gentle spirit?" You see, in chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians, Paul is contrasting his ministry, his love and affection for the people there, with some of the other so-called leaders of the church that didn't really care about the people, didn't have that same level of commitment and affection for this ministry. And Paul says these other people, they are acting more like guardians toward the believers. They would prefer to use a strong hand and a whip in dealing with them. Paul says, on the other hand, I am your spiritual father. And I want to deal with you with love, with a gentle spirit. I want to be a father to you, and I want you to be my children in return. So going back now to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, our passage this morning. Paul wants the believers to understand his love and his affection for them. And as we see in verses 12 and 13, Paul wants them to return that same level of love and affection for him. As we seek to fulfill our calling as servants of God, as ambassadors of Christ, we likewise need to operate out of love and out of affection for other people. There's a greater likelihood of other people responding to the gospel if they sense within us a true love and affection for them as we seek to share the gospel with them. People will be more open to the gospel if they see within us a willingness to endure hardships and troubles and hard work because we're truly committed to the gospel, what that means. The Apostle Paul experienced a lot of difficulties and hardships, but he also experienced great joy and great blessings. As we seek to be the ambassadors for Christ that we've been called to be, we will face many of the same things. And if we love other people and are transparent to other people, we will be much more effective in reaching other people for Christ. Despite all the hardships, Paul loved them. We know Christ's love compelled him to come and give his life for us. And now we need to operate in that same love for others as we fulfill our calling as ambassadors for Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for all that you have done for us to secure our salvation. We thank you so much for your willingness to sacrifice and to go through difficulties. And Father, as you have now called ambassadors for Christ, help us as we face our own troubles, our own difficulties, as we engage in our own hard work of being an ambassador. It's not going to be easy. It's not a cush job. It's a difficult challenge, but it's one that you have called us to and one that you will help us and give us your power and your spirit to fulfill. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.